Welcome to the very first episode of the Journey to Motherhood podcast, the podcast that brings you into the heart of childbirth through the real, unfiltered stories told by moms just like you. I'm your host, Candace, and I'm so excited to be sharing these stories with you as we celebrate the strength, joy, and love inherent in the journey to motherhood, one transformative birth story at a time. This very first episode is going to include a total of 6 births that are very near and dear to my heart since they are all actually mine. I figured that you are all going to share your stories with me, so I should share mine with you as well. I thought about making this into 2 parts because 6 is a large number of births with 3 on one episode and 3 on the other, but I decided against it ultimately so you don't have to wait. And personally, I hate when things go into 2-parters when I'm listening, so we're going to do them all in 1. Once we get through 3 of the births, I'll remind you though so that you can kind of take a break or an intermission if you want to. So we're going to start all the way back at the beginning. I got married when I was 17 and I had my first baby when I was 19. I had been reading forums, articles, and books on preconception, pregnancy, and birth pretty much immediately after I was married at 17 because the subject really interested me and because I was really hopeful that I would eventually be a mom myself. Although I think my interest really started when I was a little kid and I found that show Birth Stories on TLC, or at least I think that's what it was called. I don't really remember all the details of that show, but I do remember that I wasn't sure if my mom would want me watching it, so I would actually turn it off or change it if she walked into the room. So anyway, as you can tell, I've always been a bit of a birth junkie, as they say. When I did get pregnant with my first baby, I didn't seek out prenatal care right away because I really believed in my body's ability to create, grow, and birth a baby all on its own. I specifically remember thinking that millions of women have done this before me, so surely my body was no different and do what it needed to do. And it really helped that my mom had had uncomplicated pregnancies and deliveries, so I figured that I would as well. I figured, you know, if my mom can have a natural childbirth, so can I. So I waited until I was about 16 weeks along before I actually sought out prenatal care, and I only really called that day because I knew that at 16 weeks we could find out the gender, and I was really excited to know if we were having a boy or a girl. It was a bit of a funny conversation because I actually just called and I was like, hey, I'd like to set up an appointment for my anatomy scan, when they answered. Honestly, I would have loved to have seen the look on the receptionist's face when I said that. I clearly didn't know the process. You know, where you have to go in and have that initial visit with a nurse first, and then they'll schedule you for that 8-week ultrasound, which is what they did for me. They scheduled me for the nurse visit, and then they put it as an 8-week ultrasound right after my appointment. I think she really didn't believe me when I said that I was 16 weeks along. It must have really thrown her for a loop. So I went to all of my prenatal appointments after that, and I didn't really ask any questions. It was one of those places where you're like in and out. You have like 15 minutes to talk to your doctor, and that's it. And I didn't really know anything different, so I didn't really question it. I also didn't go to a childbirth class because I didn't realize that those could be beneficial either. Like I said before, I figured that my body knew what it was doing and that I would kind of just figure it out as I went. I do remember asking them what I would do if my water broke first, though, and they specifically said, don't worry about it. Birth is not like what you watch on the TV, and that your water is not going to break until you're well into labor. They said that your water breaking first only happens in about 10% of pregnancies, so there's a 90% chance that that would never happen to me. And what do you know? In my case, they were wrong. I woke up in the middle of the night to use the bathroom like I had about a million times before because, hello, third trimester. I pulled down my pants in front of my toilet and I was immediately soaked. And I was so tired. I remember looking down and thinking, wow, I just peed myself in front of my toilet instead of sitting down on the toilet. And then I realized, wait a minute, I still have to go to the bathroom. And there was also a ton of liquid. I was like, if I peed, then I peed a ton and I still have to use the bathroom. That just doesn't make any sense to me. So obviously I figured it out and I didn't really know what to do. So I actually just called the labor and delivery unit at my local hospital that I was supposed to be going to. And they said, hey, just go back to sleep. You know, it's 1 o'clock in the morning. And I had told them that I had an appointment at 8 a.m. the next morning anyway. I don't know why I didn't think to call my midwives. I just kind of panicked and was like, let's call labor and delivery. And then I think I was just too excited that it was finally baby time. I did try to go back to sleep like they recommended, but I couldn't because I was, like I said, I was very excited. But I did lay there in the dark and I rested. My husband was working because he worked nights at the time. So I did text him and let him know what was going on just in case things started picking up and I needed him. But I didn't have any contractions and I thought that was really weird. So I went into that 8 a.m. appointment and they said, just go home, get everything together, and then we're going to go to the hospital when I'm ready. So we did that and we got there around 11. We got all checked in and into a room, and by 12 o'clock they had me hooked up to Pitocin since I still wasn't contracting at all. The nurse kept coming in and she kept turning up the Pitocin and I started getting contractions and it was so, so painful and I was really tense. I remember sitting in the rocking chair. We actually had these nice wooden rocking chairs in our labor and delivery rooms at the time. This hospital no longer has those. I wish they still did. But anyway, I remember sitting in that rocking chair, gripping the armrest for dear life without moving a muscle during those contractions because I was in so much pain, even from the beginning. And during one of those really painful contractions, the nurse actually tried to say that I wasn't feeling them because of me just sitting there during them. But it hurt so bad that I couldn't speak. I couldn't say, hey, this actually does hurt really bad. I remember looking at my husband and I guess I had kind of hoped he would just read my mind and say that I could feel them, but obviously he couldn't do that. So I couldn't say anything until the contraction was done and over with. And around 7 or 8 p.m., the midwife checked me and she said I wasn't progressing. I was only about 2.5 centimeters, and that's where I'd been when we started the Pitocin. So she said that it was very likely my baby wasn't going to be born naturally and that we should have a C-section. I really trusted her and I said, okay, even though that wasn't really what I wanted. So after only 8.5 hours of labor on Pitocin, I had my first C-section. Looking back, I wish I had known what I know now because I would have asked for so many things like more time, more position changes, and things like that. And I would have worked really hard to prevent that very first C-section because natural birth was super important to me. So after my first baby was born, I really had my heart set on a large family and I knew that I needed to have a VBAC for my second baby. A VBAC is just a vaginal birth after cesarean. Unfortunately, my second baby was sort of similar to what happened with my first. I had a really uneventful pregnancy, although this time I did know to go in for an appointment at 8 weeks like they prefer, so I did that. And I was planning a VBAC, so I sought out an OB that I thought would support me. And throughout my pregnancy, he made it seem like he was going to support me. But then when I was a week overdue, he said, due to my history, baby clearly wasn't going to be born naturally and that I was just going to have to schedule a repeat C-section. And they started saying my baby's going to die and I would have a uterine rupture if I went into labor, despite them having been supportive the entire pregnancy, saying that I would be fine and that I could have my natural birth up to 42 weeks. So with them saying every time they saw me that my baby was going to die, I decided to say yes to a C-section because I really no longer felt safe and I didn't want to be treated the way they were treating me when I was in labor because I had learned how painful labor was and I knew that I was going to need the support of everyone in the room. So that appointment was on a Tuesday. I remember leaving the doctor's office that day and I went home and actually I didn't even make it home yet. I made it to my car and I started crying. I sobbed my heart out and then I called my husband and I told him what they had said and we scheduled a C-section for 2 days later and my baby ended up being born through repeat C-section even though I had been trying for that natural birth the whole time. And now we're on to my third baby. My third baby was a little bit different than the first two. I felt a lot more educated on what I needed to do to have a VBAC specifically and what I was going to have to go through in labor with the doctors that I had. So I joined some local Facebook groups and I found a midwifery group that was supportive of me having a natural birth after two C-sections. And because of that, I was really certain that this would be it, that I was going to finally have the natural birth because I was under the care of these midwives who were recommended to me. And I met several at the practice. Most of them seemed super supportive, but because of that previous doctor, I was really nervous that, you know, when it came down to it, I wouldn't end up being supported because that's what he did to me. He made me feel super supported until the very end and then was like, haha, just kidding. So I was worried about that, and I did have that in the back of my mind. So I think that was not a great thing, but I did the best that I could to trust them. And there was a couple that seemed a bit iffy to me. I didn't think they were super supportive, but I figured I would cross that bridge when I got there as far as having them at the hospital and hope that I didn't get them and I got the other midwives who I felt were supportive. So my pregnancy itself was smooth. I had no complications again. About 3 days after my due date, I was walking around the pet store with one of my kiddos just for fun. We were looking at the ferrets and I picked her up and we were leaning over the edge looking at them. And all of a sudden, I felt really, really bad. I don't know how to explain it. It kind of was like I had really low blood sugar. So I decided we should go and grab some food and then go back home. So we did that. And after a bit, I started feeling better and I had the urge to clean out my car. So we spent the afternoon just like literally scrubbing at all of the nooks and crannies to get that car as clean as we could. And when we finished, we went to the gas station to get gas because the last thing I wanted was to stop and get gas while I was in labor. And I just wanted to make sure that my car was all good and ready to go. So while my husband was pumping the gas, I went into the store and I started picking out some snacks for the kids because they did such a good job. And I was so proud of them for hanging in there while we were all cleaning out the car and everything. And while I was in that store, my water broke. Fortunately for me, I was wearing black pants and the baby's head was kind of blocking it. So it wasn't like a ton everywhere. It was enough that my pants were soaked. And every time I took a step, I would feel more water come out. So I would have to like walk with my legs closed. It was so awkward. And I set our snacks over on the counter and I went back to the car and I told my husband what happened. It was so funny. He kept looking like he was trying to see if like there was like water pooling down or anything like that. And I was like, don't look at me. I was being shy. So he went in and he paid for the snacks and then we went home. And I remember on the way home feeling really discouraged because I felt like my first birth was repeating itself with my water broken again and I didn't have any contractions. After a few hours though, the contractions finally started on their own and they were so painful, but I was so happy to be finally feeling these natural contractions. And I was like, maybe this is it. Maybe this is my sign that everything's going to work out. And I felt really positive and excited going into this labor. My contractions were really, really painful from the start, though. I remember reading that other people said that they felt like period cramps, and I'd had period cramps before, but these were absolutely nothing like that to me. They were so bad that I was stopping to breathe through them, and I'd been told, you know, if you get to that point where you're stopping to breathe through them, you should really be going to the hospital. So that's what we started to move towards. We dropped my kiddos off with my sister, and we went towards the hospital since it was about an hour away, and I didn't want to have a baby on the side of the road on the way there. So when we got there, I planned on hanging outside the car, outside the hospital rather, for a little bit, but I had to use the bathroom, so we decided to go inside. But I'm not even kidding you, as soon as I turned the car off, my contractions stopped. And it didn't even occur to me because I was going inside to get checked in and I didn't really think much of it, but I was glad that I would not be in a ton of pain while walking through the hospital. But that should have been a red flag for myself that I didn't feel safe and that I felt really uncomfortable because my body was like, no contractions. So this hospital was a totally different one than the previous two that I'd went to, and I didn't really know where to go. So we went inside and we found a receptionist desk. It was so quiet in there. And we got all registered and we walked to a room. They admitted me right away because of my water breaking. But interestingly enough, now that I'm thinking back, they never actually checked to see if my water had broken. They just, you know, they went with what I had said. And the same thing with my first baby. Nobody ever did like one of those little swab things to make sure my water actually broke. Anyway, we went to our room and I was able to use the bathroom finally, which was a huge relief. And when I was walking around, every time I had a contraction, I was squatting down because it was a huge relief every time I was able to squat down. It just helped with the pain and I could feel my baby descending and it felt really, really good to do. Then randomly, my husband started feeling sick. He thinks he had some sort of food poisoning, so he wasn't really much help for me when I was in labor. He was actually hiding in the bathroom anytime someone came into my room because he was afraid that they were going to kick him out if they knew he wasn't feeling well. So eventually the doctor did come in. My midwives didn't actually come, but the OB who was on call did. And I quickly learned that she was not supportive of VBAC at all. She was supposed to be there all night. My OB was supposed to be coming the next day. And not only was she not supportive, but she was absolutely terrified. Apparently, she had recently dealt with a uterine rupture and she had some trauma herself that she needed to work through after going through that. So every time she came into the room, she just kept pressuring me to have a C-section, saying, hey, you know, we could end the pain now and have you, you know, just hooked up to the epidural and you're going to be safe and your baby's going to be safe. Let's just go into the OR. It's going to be fine. I did ask her to stop. And she said that she would feel more comfortable if I got an epidural. She said if I at least did that, she wouldn't bother me anymore about a C-section until I felt ready for it. Which, that's like, until I felt ready for it is kind of crazy to me. So she was obviously pretty sure that this was going to be a C-section no matter what. A little side note here, I was pretty much alone at this hospital unless someone came in to adjust the monitors or help me use the bathroom. And that was really, really weird to me because at my previous birth, the nurse never left the room. I'm not sure what the difference was there. But anyway, between my husband being sick and this OB harassing me, I decided to consent to the epidural. I figured, you know, it's going to help me cope with the pain and take it away, which is going to be super helpful since I am literally on my own throughout this labor and delivery. I don't have my support person. I obviously don't have the support of this OB and the staff that was on. So they came and they gave me the epidural and it worked perfectly. And then they left. After they left, I suddenly felt super lightheaded and like I was gonna pass out. And I remember reaching over and lowering the head of my bed or trying to. And I looked over at Josh and I said, Josh, I think I am. And then everything went dark and I couldn't even finish that sentence. And when I woke up, the OB was there and she said, how are you feeling? And I said, oh, I feel great, thanks. And she laughed at me and she said, you don't remember what happened, do you? And then I suddenly remembered, oh my gosh, I was passing out while I was lowering the head of my bed and I was trying to get my husband's attention so he could help me. And I didn't know why I passed out, but what I did know is that I was too afraid to continue my labor between passing out, not having that support person, not having my midwife, this unsupportive OB. I decided to just go ahead and call it and have the C-section because I just no longer felt safe. That was really, really scary, passing out like that. And I just wanted to protect my baby. We did do one last cervical check and I actually made it to 5 centimeters this time. And I know that's not a lot, but I was really proud of that because, you know, I had never made it that far before and definitely not on my own. So that was actually a huge thing for me. So the surgery itself went really smoothly, but the OB told me that my entire lower uterus was thin and that I had a window along the length of my previous scar inside my uterus. She said that my daughter was actually looking directly at her through my uterus. A window is exactly what it sounds like. Like my uterus was stretched so thin at that spot that it was see-through. And the doctor was convinced that this would have ended in a rupture. But of course her own fear was probably playing in here as well. So it's kind of hard to say. But she actually went as far as saying that I probably shouldn't have any more children in the future. So that was huge. That was scary. But everything did go smoothly, like I said. So that was my first 3 births. And as promised, I'm not going to break this into 2 episodes like I had said I could do. But I did want to let you know that we've been through 3 of the stories. So if you want to pause and take an intermission, now's a good time to. But don't go away for too long. I think you're going to be pretty surprised to hear how the next 3 births went. Okay, so let's go ahead and talk about my 4th kiddo. Fortunately, the same as the first 3 pregnancies, this one went smoothly as well with minimal complications. I did have something develop during this pregnancy that I wasn't expecting though, called SPD or symphysis pubic dysfunction. This was a surprise after never having had it in the past. Basically, there's a ligament in the front of your pubic bone that holds the bones together so they don't move. And in pregnancy, these ligaments are supposed to loosen. This just makes it so your pelvic bones can widen a little bit for delivery. My body, on the other hand, decided to be a champ and produce too much of the hormone relaxin, which causes those ligaments to move too much. This resulted in severe pain in the front of my pelvic bone, my hips, and my lower back. I did see a chiropractor. She was certified in the Webster technique, and I had heard that this was good for the condition and that it can actually help in childbirth. Unfortunately for me, though, it did not help. There were actually times during my pregnancy where I couldn't walk. I remember crawling to my bathroom one time because I really needed to use the bathroom, but I was in so much pain that I literally just couldn't walk. And there was another time where I had a chiropractor appointment that I was supposed to go to, but I was an hour late because it took me that long to walk from the parking garage to her front desk. Literally an hour. And it wasn't that big of a walk. So I never actually ended up going back after that appointment because I couldn't bear to do that walk again with the hills and the stairs and the distance. It just wasn't working for me, and the service itself wasn't really working out for me. Now, maybe that was just the chiropractor that I was seeing. I don't know, but there wasn't anybody else around me who was certified in the Webster technique. So I decided, you know, it just wasn't working, and I didn't continue doing that. Other than that, though, I didn't have any other complications during my pregnancy. So this one started in the middle of the night. I woke up to use the bathroom, just like, you know, you do a million times a night during the end of pregnancy. I kept feeling crampy, but I didn't really think anything of it since that had been happening for several weeks. I kind of brushed it off. I went and used the bathroom, and I went back to bed again and again and again. I finally gave up on sleeping since my other kids would be up for school soon. I went and got their clothes ready, and I waited for them. They all woke up, and we started the normal routine of locating shoes, getting dressed, heading out the door. We did change up the routine a little bit, though. My husband drove the kids to school, and the youngest kiddo and I went on along for the ride. I noted that the cramping went away. I felt a little bit discouraged that it had. I did feel a little bit off, but since the cramping had stopped, I figured, you know, it's not time. I was already 8 days late, as they say, since she was due on April 23rd, and at this point it was already May 1st. Even knowing that the latest I was willing to go was 42 weeks, it was still really hard thinking that I could be holding my baby already. I just kept telling myself, it's gonna be worth it, it's gonna be worth it, it's gonna be worth it, and I decided to ignore how I felt and really focus on our toddler. So we decided to make a little fun trip to Petco and look at some ferrets while we were there. I picked up my toddler for a minute and I couldn't. For some reason, I felt really uncomfortable and I had to put her down and I tried again and it just didn't feel right. So I asked my husband to pick her up and show her the ferrets, and he did. And I was like, well, maybe I just picked her up wrong. So I tried just one more time to show her the bunnies a few minutes later, but I still had the same problem. I couldn't lift her comfortably, and I was worried because I had been feeling off, but again, I still wasn't having contractions. So I didn't think I was in labor or anything like that. I was hungry since we hadn't eaten breakfast yet, so I assumed, you know, maybe it could be related to that, or maybe my blood sugar was dropping, or something like that. We did decide to leave, and when we got to the car, I started feeling weak and dizzy, and I was like, okay, maybe I'm onto something with the blood sugar. So we decided to go grab some food, and right after that, I started feeling a bit better, and then a big 30-second long contraction happened. And I remember thinking, this is not possible. It has to be gas, or maybe I need to use the bathroom. But then 10 minutes later, it happened again. And then it went on for about 2 hours like this, but I was still really in denial. My husband suggested I start timing them, and I thought he was crazy. Finally, around noon, I really accepted what was happening because the contractions were now coming every 5 minutes. I decided to go lay down and get some rest and start timing them. And then I was wrong. They were actually coming every 2 to 3 minutes, and they were already lasting about 45 seconds, and they were getting very intense. And I remember thinking, this can't happen today. It simply cannot. My husband worked all night the night before, and he had to sleep, and there's no way I could take care of the kids and deal with the intensity of these contractions without my husband. And he, like I said, he really needed to sleep. I messaged my sister so my other kids could spend the night at her house just in case it was time, but again, still a bit of denial happening here, and I really didn't want to get my kiddos up and ready and, you know, interrupt my sister's sleep and their sleep in the middle of the night, so I figured they could just stay over at her house, and she was cool with that. The contractions did continue. My husband brought the kids home from school. After they got home, the contractions practically stopped. They had been coming about 15 to 20 minutes apart at the most, and their intensity had practically diminished. And I actually became hesitant to bring my kids to my sister's house at that point, but I remembered reading different stories where things slowed down with a mom had to mom, so to speak. And, you know, worst case scenario, they got an extra sleepover at their aunt's house, and she was cool with that. So we decided to go ahead and bring them over there. So we dropped them off around 7, and we were home by 8. Before we even walked through the door, the contractions immediately came back, the intensity came back, and they started to get really close together. I was so tired, so I laid in bed with my contraction timer next to me because I just felt like I needed to time all these contractions at that point. I couldn't sleep because the contractions were just too painful. They kept me up, but I tried to sleep anyway. I tried to rest as much as I could. Around 1 a.m., I couldn't stand laying in the bed anymore. It just wasn't comfortable, so I got up and I moved to the couch. By 4 a.m., I was done. I was in a lot of pain. I was no longer resting well in between contractions, and I decided that's it. I'm done. There's no way I'm staying in this house any longer. I waited through the contraction just one more time, and right before I got up to use the bathroom, I peed my pants. Or at least that's what I thought had happened since I had to pee so badly. During my previous labors, my water had broke before labor started and there was a ton of fluid and it just kept coming. And I knew that this couldn't be my water because of the amount. So I went to the bathroom and I cleaned up, not saying anything to my husband. I tried to lay down one more time because I felt like a baby because I just wasn't handling my contractions well anymore and it was just so painful. I got up to move around and get comfortable and I felt like I peed myself again. And then I realized, okay, this is not pee. This is my water has broken. So I told my husband to call my midwife because I was definitely leaving now. I was very uncomfortable. My water had definitely broken and I just wanted to be where I needed to be. And the contractions were practically unbearable. We had an entire hour to drive to the hospital. He called her, he called my photographer, and we headed out. Let me tell you, that hour drive was probably the longest hour of my entire life. I hated every single contraction that I had in that car, even more than the contractions that I'd been previously happening. And the positioning was just terrible, trying to sit in my seat with the seatbelt on. I was practically climbing out of my seat during every single contraction because it was just so painful to sit in that position. I was so glad when we finally got there. We didn't actually go to the hospital though. We went to my midwife's office to check in with her first because she didn't feel like it was quite time yet. And she just wanted to do a check before we headed over to the hospital because we did not want to go in too soon. She said, you know, we're just gonna sit in the dark and we're just gonna relax. I can lay down for a little bit while I'm there. But I remember getting a little bit discouraged by that, thinking, how could it possibly not be time yet? These contractions are 3 minutes apart. They're lasting a minute. They feel absolutely awful. But she said, nope, just come here. We're gonna wait it out for a little while. And as unbearable as another car ride sounded, I agreed because the last thing I wanted was to go to the hospital too soon, like I said. And we left. Again, we arrived. I realized after arriving there, though, that my contractions had slowed down again, which I'm guessing must have been due to the car ride and then going to the hospital and everything. But my midwife, she made the right call for me. I was so relieved that she did, but I hated that I'd been in labor for so long and it seemed like there was still such a long way to go. So we all hung out in the lobby of her office for a little bit. Everyone around me drank coffee. I had some red raspberry leaf tea, sort of. I only really drank like a couple of sips of it. And I remember somebody got me some sort of like little lemon cake thing from the gas station next door. But I couldn't eat anything or drink anything. And I hadn't for a really long time, but it just didn't feel good at the time. So I said, no, thank you. I decided to go ahead and ask for a cervical check so we could see if it was time to go. And she checked, but she wouldn't tell me how far along I was. She said she didn't want me getting discouraged or anything like that. And I was thinking, you know, there's no way that I'm more than 4 centimeters if she's saying that. And that was a little bit discouraging, but I didn't ask. I didn't push the issue. I just trusted her. And she went ahead and shut off the lights. I tried laying down and resting again as much as I could. I felt like I was there for like 30 minutes tops before she was saying it was time to go. I have no idea how long it actually was. When she finally said it was time to go, I was so happy because I knew that we were getting closer. And when we got there, I would be able to get in the water, which meant being able to survive these contractions after all, because the water was the one thing that was taking away the pain and giving me some sort of relief. So when we got to the hospital, we got into a labor and delivery room right away. They checked me for admission and they found out that I was 7 centimeters dilated. And I couldn't decide if I was happy or upset about that. Happy because I'd never made it further than 5 centimeters before, but a little bit upset because I had been in labor for so long at this point and I was just so tired. It was now 9 a.m. on May 2nd. And I thought to myself, this is seriously never going to end. I feel like I'm going to be in labor forever. I know that's not true, but that's just what my brain was telling me at the time, which is silly, but you know, can't really trained your brain into thinking what it should be thinking in those moments. So my midwife asked for the internal monitors for me so I could get into the shower, and they said yes, because they didn't have waterproof monitors at the time that I could use. So we asked for those. I got in that shower for about 20 glorious minutes, and then I had to get out. I wasn't allowed in there any longer than that because the monitor wasn't picking up the baby's heart rate, which was so frustrating. So the doctors, they kept coming in and out of my room, upset about that heart rate monitor because they were really worried and they were really relying on that monitor for baby. So I waited as long as I could in that shower while they looked for towels. I don't know what took them so long. Like, surely they knew where the towels were in the hospital. I don't know. But it took them a while, and I took advantage of that, and I stayed in that water as long as I could. When I got out, I decided to go ahead and get in the bed again in hopes of really trying to get a little bit more rest in between these contractions, because again, you know, we're on the second day of labor now, and I'm still so tired. I haven't slept. I haven't ate. I haven't drank. It worked for a little bit while. It worked for a little while, but something was wrong with the baby's heart rate. They kept saying it was high, and they were worried about that. Even my midwife, who was there, who was a consistent support for me, she said she was a little bit worried about what the heart rate monitor was showing. And because I was dehydrated and I hadn't eaten or anything, they tried to get me a Heplok, and it took about 4 tries to get that IV in. I agreed to saline to help, so that way maybe that would help with my hydration and therefore help with the baby's heart rate. I couldn't stand laying on my side anymore, and contractions were just undeniably unbearable. Again, I begged for something to take the edge off because I just couldn't do it, and I felt like I needed help at that point. But my midwife was like, no, you are almost there. That when the pain becomes that unbearable, you are in transition. You are right at the end. She suggested I change position. So I switched my hands and knees, and I rested my head on my husband or the back of the bed. And I was staring at a midwife who was next to me. And I suddenly started feeling the urge to push. One thing I do want to add, actually, before this happened, before I felt the urge to push, when the baby's heart rate was having problems and I got that saline, it did help a little bit, and changing positions did help a little bit, but they started talking about a C-section at that point, and they were calling anesthesia down because they were like, you know, we're not comfortable with baby's heart rate, baby's not really liking what's going on, which was so discouraging to know. You know, I had already made it 9 centimeters, and this was it. This was as far as I was going to be able to make it, but then I suddenly felt that need to push, and they stopped talking about it. And I think that they felt comfortable because, like, baby was clearly coming, and that was going to be probably faster and better for me and baby if we went ahead with the natural birth rather than going for the C-section, which in my mind meant that they weren't thinking, you know, this was caused by a potential rupture or anything like that, because they were letting me continue where I was and I wasn't being raced down to the OR or anything like that, which, you know, means it's not really an emergency. So back to the pushing, I was laying on my left side. My husband came and sat right next to me and held my hand. And after a few pushes, the pain during contractions became unbearable again. And my midwife suggested, you know, just pull your leg up. I said no, because it sounded like an awful position. And I yelled through another painful contraction. She just automatically pushed my leg up for me just a little bit. And I realized she was right. So I went with it. And I asked her to help hold my leg in that position for each contraction, and she did, of course. The OBGYN at the time was like, would you lay on your back? And I said no. He was absolutely not happy about this decision at all. He said it would be better in case of shoulder dystocia, but I was like, no, I'm not moving. And everyone kept encouraging me, saying, you know, she's right there and keep pushing. But then before I knew what was happening, I was forcibly rolled onto my back, and the OBGYN and the nurses were pushing on my stomach, and I was pushing myself because my body was telling me to. And all of a sudden, you know, she was just fully out. She was born, and I was able to pull her up to my chest and hold her, and she started crying right away. And I did it. I finally had the natural birth that I had been fighting so hard for so long. And it was such an amazing moment. I looked up at my husband and I was just smiling and so happy. I had her, I was looking at her and I could smell her, and the nurses were checking up on her, listening to her heart and her lungs and everything, making sure that she was good considering the high heart rate, but she was perfect. And I loved that I was able to just sit there and hold her and get that golden hour, which I never really had been able to have before because of having C-sections. So we got to snuggle, I got to nurse her, they weighed her, and I was told to guess her weight. Everybody was guessing her weight at the time. And I was like, well, my biggest baby was 7 pounds and 13 ounces. So I was guessing somewhere around that size, but I was totally wrong. She was 9 pounds and 3 ounces, which was another non-scale victory for me because my natural birth was my biggest baby. And I was so, so proud of myself. I truly couldn't believe I'd finally managed to have the birth I've been trying to have. And it truly felt like a dream, even with having to deal with some of the things I did, like the nurses jumping on my stomach at the end. Turns out they were truly concerned about a shoulder dystocia, but it was not the situation at all. They later talked to me about it and said that, you know, it wasn't actually a true shoulder dystocia and we were okay, which is really good. So my postpartum this time was different than my previous ones because there is a night and day difference between recovering from a C-section and recovering from a natural childbirth. Like, I felt like I was back to normal within like a week or two after having her, which was an incredible thing. It made it so I could care for everyone in my family so much easier, and I felt so good physically, whereas before it was like, okay, you hit that 2 week mark and now you finally feel like you can walk comfortably. Whereas this, I felt like I was recovered. It was amazing. So in the end, I decided, you know, the pain was absolutely worth it, even though it felt like an eternity of it and it was hard and it was awful going through the pain. My baby got what she needed from me and I got what I needed out of having that birth, and the recovery again was amazing, which helped my entire family. And it was just such an incredible experience, and I'm thankful that I had the nurses that I had, the doctors that I had that day, and especially my midwife. I definitely wouldn't have been able to do it without her. I really needed her support because I would not have been able to advocate for myself when I was in those transition contractions, when I was in that unbearable pain. Like, there's no way I would have been able to do that. So I'm so thankful for all of those people who played a big role in that birth, and of course my husband, who was my biggest support as well. And yeah, because I had that successful natural birth, I knew exactly what I was in for when I got pregnant with my fifth baby. And I knew for sure that I was going to be doing a natural birth again, because there was absolutely no way I was going to have another C-section and then have to deal with the recovery of another C-section while trying to care for four other kids plus my newborn. In this pregnancy, I really went back to what I knew, which is trusting my body to be able to do what it's naturally supposed to do, especially after I reached out to a local home birth midwifery clinic and I didn't hear back. I set up the 8-week ultrasound and nurse visit with the original doctors I had been seeing for my first pregnancy just to establish care, and I never saw them again. Instead, I just followed a healthy diet, I exercised, I read books on prenatal care, took the measures that I felt were truly necessary for me throughout the things that I read and my research on pregnancy and listening to my body, and given my previous history. I truly just did not want to fight with these doctors on having a natural birth again. I just wanted to let my body do what it was supposed to do. And I decided that I was going to have an unassisted home birth, or a free birth as they call it. So I set up a birth pool in my room. I set up a little bassinet next to it with all the supplies that I felt like I might need. And then 3 days past my due date, I was laying in my bed when I heard an audible pop. And I thought to myself, no way. No way. I'd read in the past that sometimes women can hear their water breaking, and it literally sounds just like an audible pop. But I was like, no way. I've had my water break in the past and it never made a noise like that. But just in case, I kind of like shimmied my way off my bed and I hopped over to my birth pool because I had like a floor protector around it. And so I just stood on that floor protector, and sure enough, my water had broken. There was water everywhere. And I grabbed my phone real quick and I called my husband because he was downstairs and I was upstairs and the kids were sleeping, so I didn't want to yell to him. And I asked him to bring me some towels, and I told him, go lay down for a little while. It's midnight right now, and my previous labors, they'd been really long, and I figured this one was going to be no different. And I knew that I was going to need him to get me through that transition period because that was so hard previously. So I was thinking, you know, if he gets a few hours of sleep now, he's going to be able to help me when I need him most, which is through that harder period at the end. He gave me what I asked for, and I waddled my way to the shower with it in between my legs. I started having contractions immediately, and I felt, you know, a bit of relief knowing my body was doing what it was supposed to do. But I also felt immense dread because that pain was immediately unbearable and I remembered how hard and how long labor had been in the past. I turned on the hot water though and I climbed in the tub and I tried to convince myself, you know, this is going to be different because I have my birth pool. And I was not even in that shower for 10 minutes before I called my husband and I said, sorry, you're not going to be able to sleep. I need you to get up now and I'm going to need you to set up the birth pool now. Contractions were already coming 2 minutes apart and already lasting 45 seconds. I was so uncomfortable right away. Oh my goodness. So my husband worked on filling up the pool and I made my way back to it slowly but surely in between contractions. It wasn't full and it wasn't warm when I got there, but I got in anyway because I was already feeling desperate for relief from that pain. And I think part of that was just the mental remembering the pain from before and how bad it's going to get. But getting in that birth pool, it didn't help. Likely because the water wasn't warm. And then on top of that, I had terrible, terrible back labor, which I also hadn't experienced before. And that was not fun at all. My husband grabbed the hot water, the hose that he had set up for me, and he actually held it directly on my back to help. And that truly did make a big difference, having that nice hot water directly on my back during those contractions. Those contractions, like I said, they started off hard, they started off quick, and they started getting stronger. And after about 5 hours, I started thinking, I can't do this. I have no idea how I'm going to be able to do this for 24 plus hours like I have in the past. And I was literally roaring through each contraction, and I couldn't control myself. I even accidentally woke up my 2-year-old, and I felt so bad. She came in our room, though, and she put her hand on my cheek. Very, very gently, and she sweetly looked into my eyes and she said, "It's okay, mommy, it's okay." And it was the most beautiful, most sweetest moment. It's like forever ingrained into my memory. And after she did that for me, I felt a renewed sense of strength for some reason. I don't know what it was, but she actually just did that very, very calmly, sweetly, and then she crawled into our bed and somehow she managed to go back to sleep despite how loud I was being. I have no idea how she slept after that, but she did. And that was great that she wasn't, you know, a distraction for my husband who was helping me. And, you know, I don't think she would have been a good distraction for me. She wouldn't have been a bad distraction because she really did help me just that few minutes that I was able to spend with her. So I'm dealing with contractions, I'm looking at my 2-year-old sleeping, and then I looked at my hands and I realized that I was shaking, and I hadn't really ever dealt with shaking before in labor, but I knew that it could be a sign of transition. And I looked at the clock and it was 5:10, and I was like, there's no way I'm already in transition, am I? My next contraction though, it wasn't those super painful transition contractions, it was a pushing contraction. You can definitely tell the difference between the two of those. And it was definitely time to push. And I'd been, because the pool wasn't full, I'd been on my hands and knees in the pool. But for whatever reason, when I had those contractions like that, the pushing contractions, I mean, it just really wasn't comfortable. Every single time I needed to push, I pulled myself up on the edge of the birth pool so that I was kind of like as upright as I could be, but on my knees, if that makes sense. And after a contraction or two like that, I decided to just stand up. That's just what my body was telling me to do. I didn't really think about it. I just did it. And then one contraction after standing up above my birth pool later, his head was out that quickly. My husband tried to encourage me to push him out, and he kind of like tried to do some coach pushing situations. And I was like, absolutely not. And I just gave him the side eye. I didn't actually say anything to him because I didn't feel like I could talk at the time. But I ignored him and I was letting my body do its thing, and I was not going to doubt it again. So he had his hands right by baby's head and he's like, I'm ready. It's going to be fine. I'm going to catch him. And one more strong push and my baby was out, but he fell right through dad's arms. So dad went to catch him, but he was slippery and he just fell right through his arms towards that water. Fortunately for me, I have apparently really quick reflexes after that because I scooped him up right before he hit the water and I pulled him up to my chest. So even though Dad dropped him, he never hit the water. I was able to catch him, which was a very interesting experience. But it wasn't like my previous birth where I was like, yeah, I'm so excited, I'm so happy. I just was immediately like, I need to get out of this pool now. Josh was looking over the baby because he wasn't crying. So Josh was worried about him, but I could feel him breathing from where I was holding him. So I said, he's okay, but I need to get out of this pool right now. And I don't know why, but I just felt like it was urgent and that there was something wrong with me. So he helped me to get out and I laid our new little baby right in front of me on some blankets and towels while I waited for the placenta to come out. I lost a lot of blood while I was standing over that tub, and I think that my body had just known that that had happened, and that's why I had such an urgency to get out. Josh brought me some food and some drinks because I asked for them. I'd been feeling super dizzy, and it reminded me of when I had low blood sugar in the past. I hadn't looked at the pool yet, so it didn't occur to me that it could possibly have been from losing too much blood. The placenta finally came out and I immediately started taking some tinctures for blood loss, and I got baby latched on for breastfeeding as soon as I could because I finally realized the amount of blood that I had lost, and that was probably why I was feeling the way that I was feeling. So we waited until the cord stopped pulsing and then we cut the cord and I just tossed on a nightshirt and we all climbed into bed. Josh and the baby both went to sleep and I just laid there staring at my little baby. I just couldn't believe it. Now that I started feeling a little bit better and I was like laying down and just resting, I was so amazed that we did it, just the two of us. I watched the room get lighter as the sun rose and I knew that the other kiddos would be upstairs soon. So I went downstairs to use the bathroom and I brought them back upstairs with me to meet their new baby brother. They were ecstatic he was born and it was just like magic. I can still, when I think about this moment, I can still remember, you know, exactly how bright it was in the room and the temperature and the sounds and everything about this moment is just like frozen in my mind. And I wish that I could convey to you through these words just how magical that moment was for me and for our family. It was just so, so wonderful. But my sixth baby didn't have magic like that. But let's start at the beginning of the pregnancy. So I went in and I established care at 8 weeks like I had for my previous births. And I also emailed some home birth midwives to see if I could find support again. I once again didn't get responded to, which was incredibly frustrating. But I wasn't super worried about it because I figured I would just be repeating what I'd done for my previous birth and just have another unassisted delivery if I needed to. Because once again, I was not going to be fighting with the doctors at the hospital. So my pregnancy was once again pretty non-eventful up until around 35 weeks. At that point, I started feeling a ton of pain in my lower abdomen every single time my baby moved. It was so painful that I had to stop what I was doing, breathe through it, and wait until he stopped moving before the pain would stop. No amount of position changes fixed it. Because I had a history of a window and, you know, my lower uterus being thin, and now I have this new pain, I decided that I was not comfortable birthing at home alone again because I didn't want to make any risks like that. So I went to the doctors and they said it was probably just round ligament pain, but that really didn't make sense to me because I hadn't felt this pain in the past and it really wasn't like anything I'd ever experienced. So I kept weighing my options. I couldn't birth at home because I just didn't feel safe. I absolutely did not want to put my baby's life at risk in case they were wrong about it being round ligament pain. I knew that if I had that pain and something happened to him or me or both of us, that I would never be able to live with that. So a hospital birth was really my only option. But again, I did not want to fight with the doctors who had bullied me into C-sections in the past. I also didn't want to go through a trial of labor and then end up in a C-section. A trial of labor that ends in a C-section is riskier than just having a scheduled C-section, and I really wanted to mitigate as many risks as I could. So ultimately, I decided to have a repeat C-section. I'd felt a bit defeated at first when I made that decision because I'd fought so hard in the past to have my natural births, but ultimately it was my decision and I wanted to make sure that my baby was safe. So it really did feel like an empowered, informed decision for me, which is super important. And so that's what I did. I had a fourth C-section and it actually went perfectly. My OB said that everything looked good and I no longer had a window or even a thin uterus at all. She said it looked fine. I'd like to attribute that to my having increased my protein and collagen intake in my past pregnancies, as well as my vitamin C. Your diet and nutrition plays a huge role in things like tissue repair, and I think that really had a big impact. So in the end, I guess maybe they were right that it was just round ligament pain. I don't know, but hindsight is always 20/20, as they say, and I don't regret my decision because I truly believe that was what was best for us given the knowledge that I had at that time. Knowing that my uterus isn't thin anymore and that I don't have a window is also very empowering. So when I decide to have another baby, I won't have that in the back of my mind wondering, is this going to be something that's going to affect my delivery? I'm not pregnant, but I did already start reaching out to midwives to hopefully have a supported home birth next time. That way I don't have to, you know, come to the conclusion that I came to for this last birth. Hopefully somebody will actually respond to me. I'm figuring if I start looking now, by the time that comes around, I will have the care in place that I need to have that empowered home birth. But I've got plenty of time, like I said, between now and whenever that will be. So that's it. Those are my stories. I had three C-sections followed by two natural births and then another C-section. So as we wrap up today's journey, I just wanted to say to all of our listeners, thank you for joining us and being a part of this community where every story matters and every journey is honored. If today's stories moved you, inspired you, or made you reflect on your own journey, I'd love to hear from you. Share your thoughts, your story, or message of support by reaching out through our social media channels or email. Your voice is a valuable part of this ongoing conversation about the beauty and complexity of motherhood. And remember, whether you're in the midst of your own journey to motherhood, supporting someone through theirs, or simply here to listen and learn, you're not alone. We're here to share, to support, and to celebrate together, one birth story at a time. Join us again on the journey to motherhood for more stories that connect, inspire, and empower. Until then, take care of yourselves and each other. If you'd like to be featured on the Journey to Motherhood podcast, send me an email to thejourneytomotherhoodpod@gmail.com. Until next time, friends, bye!